Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Science of Kabbalah with your hosts, Rabbi Yitzhak Michelson and William Hall, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Science of Kabbalah here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. This is Rabbi Yitzhak, and unfortunately, William has been called away, so he's not able to be with us today. We're going to be talking about a very, very painful and very sensitive subject today. Most of the world has already heard about the terrible tragedy that we had here just outside of Tzfat in Meron on Lag BaOmer. So first and foremost, we want to dedicate this lizchut and the merit of the Ulei Nishmat for the elevation of the souls of all our brothers who were lost in this terrible tragedy. We want to wish a refuah shleima, a complete healing for all those who were injured, and to all those who have lost loved ones. We say Hamakom Yenechem Etchem Betoch Shar Avolei Tzion VeYerushalayim. May the Holy One comfort you among the rest of the mourners of Tzion and Yerushalayim. Yeah, it's been a very stressful year with COVID, and just when things seem to be turning around with restrictions being lifted here in Israel, we suffered this terrible tragedy just a few days ago on the Mount Meron during the Lag BaOmer celebration. And then reeling from all of this, myself personally, I learned that a cousin of mine is possibly terminally ill. All this after losing my mother, Leah Shalom, and my uncle, Alava Shalom, within a few months of each other this past year. Then we had explosions took place here in Tzfat and set everybody on edge. And thank God we learned that it was an unfortunate accident and no one was injured. And the question on our minds and the minds of so many people is, how do we deal with something that goes beyond our imagination? In other words, nobody could have prepared for something like this. You can't turn on media or social media without seeing finger pointing at every turn, with people asking why and other people thinking that they actually have the answers. And I, for one, am concerned that once again people are sort of taking a stand on one side or the other of something that they should just be sitting back and being quiet about. We have a very special guest, and he has much more personal perspective on this. We're going to have to go to a break. Stay with us. We'll be right back after a short break here on the Science of Kabbalah.
How did a nice Jewish girl from Delaware end up living in Israel? Shalom, I'm Natalie Sapinski. Join me on my show, Returning Home. Meet different people who have moved to Israel. Hear their personal stories, their highs, their lows, and everything in between. Each week, we talk to experts on immigration and the process of moving to Israel. Listen to Returning Home every Thursday, only on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Science of Kabbalah with Rabbi Yitzhak Michelson and William Hall here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Science of Kabbalah. This is Rabbi Yitzhak, and before the break, I was talking about this terrible tragedy that befell us here in the land of Israel on Lag BaOmer. I said that we have a special guest. He's a dear friend. He's been on the show before with us. He has a more personal perspective, and he's heard what I've had to say, but we don't really want to focus and spend a lot of time on this being another interview about the kind of things that he saw and the things that he experienced. We want to go into some of the things that I brought up, how we respond to things like this when something unimaginable happens. So rather than me just keeping, you know, on with this, please welcome back Rabbi Amichai Cohen to the Science of Kabbalah. How are you, my friend?
Hi, Rabbi Yitzhak, and how are, greetings to all the listeners.
Yeah, so you heard what I had to say during the intro here, and like I said, I don't want this to be, you know, all about the experience, but I think it's important, at least when we start giving at least our perspective on this, on where do we go from here? How do we respond to these kind of things, that at least people understand a little bit from your perspective why you're able to say what you're able to say about this. So if you would please share with us.
Well, to tell you the truth, I really don't know what to say.
Okay.
That's the truth. Being up there on the mountain, Mount Meron, that night was, at least at the beginning, was one of the most amazing, magnificent moments of having things going back to normal. You know, it was the first event that we all were looking forward to, you know, mass gatherings, but not just any mass gathering, the party of parties, which is Lag BaOmer, which has been going on for hundreds of years over there by Mount Meron, traditionally on the day of the passing of the great second century sage, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the master Kabbalist of all times. And for the mass gatherings to take, to begin again on that day was nothing less than, you know, miraculous. Mm. And that's how I felt, and I know that's how so many other people felt, because we know that one of the reasons why we celebrate Lag BaOmer is because it was the day that the 24,000 students of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai stopped passing.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why they passed away, it was a pandemic, which is what we had the last year. And the reason for the pandemic, the Talmud says, is because the students did not respect one another.
Right.
And because of that reason, they died in a very unnatural way. 24,000 students, pearls of Rabbi Shimon. You can't even imagine that every day, what Rabbi Shimon had to go through and endure. And so for things to open up on that day was like, yes, thank you. Let the good times roll. You know, it's like, right, let it happen. Yes, we are all so and too ready for the good times to roll. And things turned out a little bit differently than we expected. Being up there on the mountain was just, you know, I go there every week to pray. I'm very familiar with the larger crowds, knowing how to swim, so to speak, in these kind of dangerous waters, because mm-hmm. they really are. There's so many people there, knowing how to navigate. And I say this with all like really humility, because it's like, only Hashem protects us.
Right.
But something told me not to go too much, even though there was a part of me that said, you know, you could do it, you know, just get through, you know, you could do it. But then I actually tried to do it, but then I was like, this is just way too squishy, and I don't know if I really want to do this. And another question, does Rabbi Shimon really even, would he even want me to do this? Does he even want me to do this? I think he could hear me wherever I am.
Right.
You know, I'm in close vicinity. He knows that I came here for him. And then very shortly after, it was around 1 o'clock, you know, things went awry with all types of paramedics coming through, and all of a sudden the music stopped, and it was almost this Twilight Zone situation where people are like, what is happening? And it just completely turned. And there's this feeling within of just being shamed. You know, feeling this feeling of shame, almost like the Talmud says in Tractate Sukkah that when it rains on Sukkot, it's like a bad omen, so to speak, because the servant gets water poured in his face. So here we are, we're in Meron, coming to celebrate this day, and we get this thing happening to us. And feeling that was, again, it was just not knowing what to do and what happened, not knowing how to respond, because seeing all these people there that were literally on the ground with CPR, and it was just very difficult. And inside of me, you know, it's like almost like, you know, you've been training for this, you know, because we talk about faith and faith in the time of difficulty for so long, and trying to think, what do we do here? What do I do here? Because I have to now try to make sense of it for myself. And at that point, I just realized that it must be all good. I just can't get this at all. It does not make sense at all. But one thing is for sure, and this is beyond my intellectual capacity of fathoming this, but there is this too is for the good, as Nachum Ish Gamzu,
right,
the Rebbe of Rebbe Akiva and the Rebbe of Rebbe Shimon, said that this too is for the good. So at that point, I just started walking down, because I realized, you know, it's, you know, you have to know when to bow in and when to bow out, and when to, you know, when to make an exit. And I just realized, you know, this, you know, people were basically stuck there like a deer in a headlight over there. And they just didn't know what to do. They're like, what is happening? You know, we're just going to go back to the celebrations, right? And I realized that, you know, we were not going to go back to the celebrations as we knew them. And that, of course, led me to a lot of different thoughts about the previous year that we were on. We were on a very difficult year with, as you mentioned, with COVID. And realizing that, you know, this year taught us a lot of lessons. But, you know, as the human way is, you know, our fickle human mind is kind of like, you know what, let me just continue. Let me just go on with life. Life goes on. Let me just go on. And the word for nature in Hebrew is teva, which means to drown.
Mm-hmm.
And the human nature is to drown out, you know, the above nature, you know, the godly miracle or that idea that really Hashem really runs the world, and He put this, He brought, you know, COVID into the world, you know, and it didn't just come from a laboratory, wherever people speculate that it came from. It's ultimately all from Hashem. It's all Hashem. Nothing is not Hashem. It's all Him. And so the lessons of this past year were to realize that it is all Hashem. And to be honest, like, I felt like I'm so happy to be back in, like, the way it was. Like, that was, like, my reaction. And I think many people are like, yeah, you know, back in, you know, we've got this happening, that happening, and this. I was like, okay, you know, life is going back, you know, the same kind of craziness, the same type of people, the same type of characteristic traits, of particular, you know, nuances that people express themselves with, and in a healthy way, in an unhealthy way, whatever it is. But you're like, oh, I'm back to quote life. And I really think that it's like Hashem is constantly reminding us now. It's like, it's not business as usual. We're not business as usual until Mashiach comes.
Amen. Yeah, so, you know, I was sitting here at around the same time that you're describing it, at 1 o'clock in the morning. I don't go anymore because, as most people know, I walk with a cane. So the idea of being in a crowd that big, you know, like, I remember the last time I was in Uman, you know, in a similar situation. And, you know, so I try not to put myself in those positions anymore. But yeah. Speaking of Uman and thinking of Rabbi Nachman, I'm reminded of the idea when he talks about the unification of the names of Hashem, where he says that we need to get to a place where everything is Baruch Dayan Met and Hatov HaMiti, that it's exactly the same thing. There is no difference between the two. There is no difference between blessed is the true judge and he is good and does good. We're going to have to go to a break. So I want to discuss that and really transition into the idea of, okay, so we're dealing with these things now. It's the idea of where we go from here. So stay with us. We're going to be back after a short break here on the Science of Kabbalah and IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
Shalom, everybody. Making a difference often takes just one moment and one person at a time. I am Orly Benny Davis, your show host on Israel News Talk Radios from Jerusalem with love. You'll be hearing people talking about politics, religion, social issues, and making a better tomorrow. Join me, Orly Benny Davis, for God and Country from Jerusalem with love.
Wednesdays on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Science of Kabbalah with Rabbi Yitzchak Michelson and William Hall here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to the Science of Kabbalah. I'm here with my dear friend, Rabbi Amichai Cohen. We've been sharing about his experience with the tragedy of Mount Meron and talking about trying to make sense of things when the unimaginable happens. And one of the things that you mentioned before the break that really hit home for me was this idea of a certain, I guess, a group of people or contingent that sort of felt like things could go back to normal or we're just going to keep dancing and celebrating, and the sense that that this was not something that was in the cards from Hashem's perspective. And it kind of spoke to me. I was telling you off air that, you know, close to 30 years ago, I lived through Hurricane Andrew. I had a business that was totally destroyed, and it was just a war zone. When we were able to clear things out the next day, everybody that was involved down there in the Homestead area just thought it was going to be years and years and years before things were back to normal. And it was almost a year to the day. As a matter of fact, I think that people were doing sort of anniversary observances. So it might have been exactly on the one-year anniversary. And I was driving a couple of blocks from where my business was. And I got that same sense. I got that same feeling that you looked around and here it was a year later. And in some ways, it didn't even look like the hurricane had hit. And I got the same sense that people were just kind of going back to normal, to status quo, and sort of not recognizing that something really terrible had happened, and there was something more to be learned from that.
Amazing.
So the other thing that I brought up is this idea of, for me, that's very concerning in all of the struggles that we've gone through in the last year. We've seen sort of these extreme positions being taken by people. You had extreme positions and opinions coming out all over the place related to COVID and COVID's origin, for instance. You had extreme opinions coming out from both sides as it relates to the vaccine and whether to take a vaccine, whether or not to take a vaccine. We're seeing all of these, and it's really concerned me that people that are people that identify as people of emunah and bitachon, of people of faith and trust, were taking these extreme positions. And now in this same situation, I kind of sense that the same thing is happening, that people are kind of coming up with their own ideas, what they think is the problem or where to lay the blame. And the only thing that popped into my head was Vayidom Aharon, that when the Mishkan was dedicated and the two sons of Aharon, the Kohen Gadol, offered this incense. And for whatever reason, I don't want to go into the details of that, because there are a lot of opinions extreme as it relates to that as well. But they were taken. And when Moshe Rabbeinu came and sort of in a certain way was trying to comfort his brother, we see at the end of the pasuk, it says, Vayidom Aaron, that Aaron was silent, Aaron was stilled. And so I'd like to hear what you have to say about, what I'm saying about that. These extreme opinions, people's kind of trying to come up with answers, and this idea of, is it a time for us to kind of be silent and really seek personal introspection at this point?
Well, definitely when it comes to any government type of situation or security type of situation, as it is in this case, there are investigations, and there are those who are at fault and who's not at fault. And that, of course, relieves a certain part of us, and realizing, oh, okay, because we have a human need to try to have order. And if we understand, okay, why did it go out of order? Because of this reason. And therefore, now I get it. Now I can make sense of it. That is not the case in any situation. I mean, but specifically in this situation, there was a case of, again, going to Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon is the second century sage that it says about him in the Gemara, Tractate Sukkah, that he could absolve the entire world from judgment. And Kedai Rabbi Shimon Lismachala, Bishat Tchak, going to Rabbi Shimon. There were tzaddikim that used to go to Rabbi Shimon as if they were going into a holiday. And there's many, many deep understandings of what this day is.
Right.
So when this kind of situation happens, and on this scale, on this day, it's not a regular situation. It's not a normal situation. Nothing is really a normal situation, but this is super not normal situation. And exactly what you were saying, Rav Yitzchak, about Rav Vayidom Aaron, is like that silence of Aaron, is realizing that there is a Muna, that there is something that is above our way of looking at things. And, it says in the 26th chapter of Tanya that it says that in the end of days, that God, it's in a verse in Isaiah, that God is going to take out the sun from the sheaths, and everyone's going to be able to see the sun. And says Lo yichnaf od moraych, because we're not going to have that distance between the teacher and the student any longer, but we're going to have that clear revelation. So the Alter Rebbe says that in the time of exile, we have this idea of the sheath, that we have this idea of what Kabbalistically is called Shem Elokim, the name of Elokim, which is the gematria, the numerology of Hateva, of nature. And that sheath holds that revelation. But the revelation is really a revelation that is so bright, that is so strong, the Alter Rebbe says, that we cannot be able to contain it. So the sheath is just a containable way of that, of whatever is expressed by Hashem in His ways. Another verse in Isaiah: His ways are not your way, are not your ways, says the Lord Hashem, right? And so when we say to be Vayidom Aaron, what was Aaron really doing in that situation? He was realizing that I can't make sense of this intellectually. Of course, someone has to come. Someone has to. We have to learn lessons, in Hebrew, lakachat lekach, to think in it, for the next time, and how to make things better. And that's what it's all about, improving. And those people that don't keep on improving and don't take those lessons, we have to be very weary of them. But not in the situation that we're in right now. And the situation that we're in right now is not a time for pointing fingers. It's not a time for saying, you know, you, whatever you did that. It's like at the end of the day, 45 people, 45 lives, and more than I read more than 130, children. It's like, it's something that is so difficult and so hard to put our minds around, to really make sense of. And the only thing that we could really do at this time is to try to exemplify more love for the other, to have that sense of emunah, God is running the show. But then it's not me pointing fingers. It's what could I do more for the other person? How could I come closer to the other person? And you know, we've had an unbelievable situations happening, you know, this week. They announced, you know, we say Mika Amcha Israel, who's like you, you know, the nation of Israel. Mm-hmm. That really we come together, and unfortunately, you know, it's during these types of times. It shouldn't be that way. It should be for good times, but we do come together in these difficult situations, and you see, Tel Aviv Jews, you know, who are traditionally very far to the left, and the polar extreme of the mostly Haredi population that was on Mount Meron, donating blood. And to tell you the truth, Rav Yitzchak, you know, when I heard that, I felt healing. I really did. I felt my heart just being mended back together in a certain on some level, you know.
Hashem.
Yeah, I was like, oh, there's hope. You know, and it made me so proud, you know, to realize, you know, we are one, and all this illusion of being separate is just, you know, it's not real, it simply is not real. You know, pointing fingers and pointing this and looking at how people are dressed and looking at, you know, what kind of a garb you have on, what kind of a hat you have on, what kind of a, you know, kippah you have on, and or you don't have. It's like, come on, you know, we've been through so much. Are we still really that petty? Are we still really gonna, you know, are we really there? And I think that's the big, big wake-up call that Hashem is really just having us listen to, hopefully listen to. And I think that we are listening to.
Yeah, I mean, it's actually exactly where I wanted to go to next in our last segment, is this concept that you're talking about, this idea of achdut, this idea of coming together, this idea of oneness, and where we go from here. So we're going to have to go to another break, but we're going to be back with Rabbi Amichai Cohen, so stay with us here on The Science of Kabbalah.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
This is Shai Ben-Tekoa. Each week I'll be webcasting to you from Judea, origin of the word Jew, a people besieged and beleaguered in every generation. Nazi Germany is but a memory, but in its place the world invented the phantom Palestinians as this generation's internationally authorized Jew killers. Tune in for a different slant on life in Israel, Phantom Nation, every Monday.
Hi, I'm Rabbi David Aaron. The soul basics are the most profound, the most essential, and yet often the most neglected in our education. Join me for Soul Talk on Israel's News Talk Radio and discover the secrets to love, spiritual growth, and personal power.
Welcome back to Science of Kabbalah with Rabbi Yitzchak Michelson and William Hall here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to the last segment here on the Science of Kabbalah. I'm joined here with my friend, Rabbi Amichai Cohen. So before the break, you were talking about this idea of unity, this idea of coming together. And you know, a lot of people are talking about that in this time. And one of the things that I've seen is that there is a certain level of achdut that we always see. Certainly, it existed before the tragedy happened. there is this level of achdut, but I was telling you at some point, thought going into before all of these happened, this idea of sort of an elevated level of consciousness, and everybody's focused on Geulah, on redemption, and redemption is here, redemption is not here, we're in the times of Mashiach, we're not in the times of Mashiach. Again, back to that idea of opinions on both sides. I have this sense that there's never going to be the sort of redemption that everybody's talking about and everybody's hoping for in a corporate way for Am Yisrael until there's personal redemption, meaning until each one of us goes through this process of sort of Geulah, personal redemption. And for me, it hit home right before Lag BaOmer, because I walked outside and I realized that there are so many things that bother me. And there are so many things that bother me to the point that in spite of the things that I teach and talk about, that I sort of have this attitude sometimes towards my brothers and sisters. And I, even before this happened, I came home and I was sort of like doing Hidbot Adut and saying to Hashem, I need to change. I need to change my attitude. I need to do something. I need to portray something. I need to have something in my heart, something on my face that radiates out to these people something other than the current attitude that I have. And then after this happened, I was reading something that somebody posted, and this is what he wrote. He said, I'm ashamed of myself. When I woke up at 4 a.m. to the terrible news about the disaster in Meron, I heard that it happened during the lighting of the bonfire by Toldot Aharon. I calmed myself thinking that they are not ours. He goes on to say, what a shocking thought. They are us and we are them. He said the feeling that he accompanied my cry was that during 10 seconds at 4 a.m, I felt disconnected from my brothers just because they think a little differently than me.
Wow.
We're all one nation. This is the great news of Lag BaOmer in general and Meron in particular. There is all from all, and this is the main part of the beauty. There is no other in the nation of Israel. We are all brothers and sisters of each other. I wish I can really internalize what I'm writing now.
Wow. Wow.
And that just destroyed me because it's everything that I was thinking. But like I said, my own shame. And then the answer came for me in this idea of personal redemption with watching the Levaya of Donnie Morris. I looked at the picture that he had posted, the picture that people were posting before they found out that he was Niftar, was this picture of 15 minutes before the event happened with this bright, beautiful smile. And while I was watching it last night, Amichai said to Hashem, that's what I want. Give me that. Let me change in a way that I can go out and I can have that kind of radiant smile to my brothers and sisters just so that that's all they see.
Wow. So first of all, that's beautiful. And you already have that smile. You're already broadcasting that smile with your vulnerability and tshuka and willingness and desire. You know, I was interviewed. I don't know why, but I was just kept on getting calls for, you know, from different places. And this one lady was saying, oh, so Rabbi Cohen, so I'm so sorry about your loss in your community. And then she said it a second time. So the first time she said it, I was like, okay, you know, she's trying to be polite, politically correct or whatever. And then she was like, I'm sorry for your loss. I said, it's our loss. I was like, excuse me? Like, our loss? Like, just because I have like a beard and I have a kippah and I may technically, quote, belong to the, you know, this community, whatever that means. I don't know what that means. That means it's my loss, it's not your loss. Are you kidding me? If something like this happened, for whatever reason that it happened, it means that it is our loss. It's our situation. And that's exactly, that I think is the exact point of where we need to get to and what we need to internalized from this. Now, we don't understand Hashem's ways, and we're not professing to know Hashem's ways. But all it is, it says, "Achayiten en libo." That's what King Solomon says. "Achayiten en libo." that the living, that the one that's alive should place in his or her heart. What should they place? What they could do, what they could learn from. Chayit en elibo, because from this event, King Solomon said many wise things, but another wise thing that he said is that it's better to go to a house of a mourner than to go to a house of a wedding. Because, you know, at a party, you know, you have a good time, but you go home. You know, those that loved you, those that, you know, patted you on the back, you know, you had a great time. You're not going to remember it tomorrow, the next day, you know. It's like, you know, life goes on. But the house of the mourner, we learn about life. And we say, gosh, I'm like, please, like, you know, just bring us everything through joy, mamish through joy. Like, you know, we don't want to, just through simcha. But in a situation like this that we are in, it's like, what could we learn from here? I think that's exactly the point that you were mentioning, that the point is like, Am Yisrael Chai, that at the end of the day, we're all interconnected. Interconnected as Jews, and there's many different types of Jews. There's Tel Aviv Jews, and B'nai Brak Jews. They're just, you know, you could just throw a rock, you know, from one neighborhood to the other. It's so close. But then in the world, it's, you know, we're all one. And this is also something that I said to this lady who was interviewing. I said, listen, if you're in a ship and you make a hole in your room, you know, in your dock where you're at, the whole ship is going to sink. You know, we're responsible for ourselves, but we're responsible for everyone else. We're all interconnected. So really at the end of the day, it's like Achayit and Libo, that the living will place into his or her heart. What should we place into our heart? Place into our heart that we need to get out of this smallness of judgmentalism, of judging the other because of this or because of that, and because of that, seeing beyond what he's dressed, you know, and not judging them for that, whether they have a kippah, okay, or whether they have the big furry hat, gewalt, great, or they're not even Jewish. It's like we're all one people. We're all one in this world, and this is what we need to be doing. This is exactly what we need to be doing. And this is the biggest lesson of COVID. Going back to what we were saying before, God was teaching us a lesson. God was saying, go back home, get into your room, like a parent sort of you know, scolding their child. You're docked. Get in your room. What do you want me to do in my room? I'm bored. I want to go to your room and think about it. Think about what? Think about you. Think about yourself. Think about your behavior. Think about, you know, what you could be doing differently. And Hashem, you know, God has put us in our room for the last year. And it's not so simple to say, oh, the room, back to business, back to usual. The room is open. Yay, I'm out. What did you do the whole year in your room? Did you forget about it? Was it so quick? Was it not profound enough for it to stick with you? Now, I'm not in any way saying that anyone, I'm talking about myself, because I'm in no way we could judge anyone else. I'm talking in the way I looked at it, and like, you know, back to usual. And it, you know, and it's like we have to just take things a little bit deeper, go to the next stage. It's like, you know, just go beyond that. You know, it's like Hashem is like, go beyond it. Go, you know, you could do it. You know, you got it. You got it in you. You know, I believe in you.
I'm going to close with this because it's gone really fast. Talking to you off the air about Rav Shlomo Yehuda, and he said this, because you and I come from different backgrounds. You know, this is what he said. He said, we need it all. He said, we need the wisdom of Chabad. We need the connection of Breslov, of Rabbi Nachman. We need the Litvish Derech of breaking through the sugya to reach the root, to connect to the will of Hashem by delving into the depths of his Torah. And if there's any underlying theme to it all, it's about the unification of the klal of breaking down what you said, the artificial barriers that separate us and make us think it's us against them. Rabbi, I want to thank you so much for being with me. I want to thank you for sharing intimately your experience and as always sharing your wisdom with us.
I just want to do one more thing. I want to give a blessing of the Kohanim. Okay. And I know Rabbi Shimon, you know, when he passed on, it was Hod Shebehod. We read Parshas Emor, which talks about the Kohanim, which is all about Shalom, which is all about peace and all about connection. So there's nothing more powerful than the words and the blessing of the Birkat Kohanim. Vaydaber Adonai Moshe le'mor, daber el Aharon ve'el banav le'mor, ko tevarichu et b'nei Yisrael, amor lahem, yevarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha, ya'er Adonai pano v'ilecha v'yichunecha, yisa Adonai pano v'ilecha, v'yasem lecha shalom, v'sam l'shmi al b'nei Yisrael, v'ami avarchem. May we all internalize the lesson of the love, the havda, of loving our friend as we love ourselves.
Amen. Ken Yerotzon, thank you again. Pleasure. Please stay Pleasure. With us every week here on the Science of Kabbalah and IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. Just click the orange button at the top of the IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com page, log in as yourself or an anonymous guest, and join in on the fun. You'll meet other listeners from all over the world who listen to Israel News Talk Radio, and you can make new friends. Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. It's the closest you can get to being in the studio with us.
We love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candlelighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.